buddy Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. And Tom, as advertised, it was a very cold night. So
By Tucson, Arizona standards.
Yes. The time Ann and I invested in about an hour and 15 minutes of covering things, and even if it's for one night, I don't want to lose everything, you know, in one night. I mean, tonight it will be barely 32, but still, I'm glad we did it because it was a hard freeze. The bird baths were really frozen.
Wow. So what do you think the temperature got down to at your place?
My guess, and I do have a thermometer out just outside, my guess would be 27 degrees.
Okay, you were colder than me.
Yeah?
I got down to 30.
You got to 30. I think the airport officially was like 26. Not quite a record. But anyway, I'm glad it's over. This has been kind of an unusual winter for those of us that have been around. Adelita Grijalva with me in studio, and she's been around. It's been a cold. It was a cold, cooler than usual autumn.
It was.
And it transitioned into a really, kind of for us, an unusually cool winter.
It was. And then I've been going to schools and reading, and there's this one book that says, and everything was covered with snow. And yesterday the kids were like, it was covered with snow. It was great.
Anyway, it is Thursday. It's the 16th of February, 2023. Our show now transitioning into year 13 already with the radio show. In the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, the radio station's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening. You can stream the show live at buckmastershow.com, also at kvoi.com. And I'm pretty darn proud of the fact that pretty much every show we've done since we launched that first week in January in 2011 is archived. There's a lot of content there at buckmastershow.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management when we do our telephone interviews, but today we're going to be pretty much studio-based, which I like very much. Adelita Grijalva is the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. She is the first Latina elected to be the board chair. That happened about a month ago. And she is about halfway through her first term on the Board of Supervisors. Of course, she served 20 years as the, off and on the chair, Adelita, I guess, at the Tucson Unified School District. Was it,
yes.
I'm going to guess, four different times as president of the board?
Six.
Six?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You having
and a couple of times as clerk.
Any withdrawal pains? Because I know you love education.
I do, and I miss the people there so much. I think that it's been, that was one of the things that I missed the most. So it's been great to be able to go and visit schools and run into a lot of familiar faces. I want to make sure to continue that connection because our partners in education are so important.
How about this chairmanship? There were some fireworks at a couple of meetings ago with that whole call to the audience dust up. As you've reflected on this, what are some of your thoughts?
I think cultural shift is difficult for anybody. And so having sat and listened to the call to the audience, the comments were becoming more and more personal attacks and less about the issues. And so we don't have to agree at all for me to listen to you and your opinion. But there isn't any reason to get personal. I can't come back at anybody and counter anything that's said that is a personal attack because it's not civilized. It's not the way we should be communicating. And I do think that, unfortunately, what happens is you're doing less of the talking to each other. You're talking to a base that you're trying to advocate for and less about looking at the elected leaders in these positions and asking for an opportunity to share your opinion and hopefully have some influence on future decisions.
But you wouldn't be upset if somebody stood up there and said, Adelita, I just do not agree with the vote you took. Here's my position on the issue.
Absolutely not. And I listened, if you listened to our last board meeting, I had several people that were very pointed about decisions that I made in TUSD that they were upset about. different governing body, but you know, it is mm-hmm. a decision that I made, and I'm perfectly comfortable listening to people who have a differing opinion. I think that that's democracy. That's what it should be. But attacking people personally for things that are not in their control,
it diminishes their argument by doing that as well.
It absolutely does. And what I really want is I want everyone to feel comfortable in that room. And there were many people that indicated to me that they did not feel safe and they not feel comfortable and were not likely to come back to a future call to the audience because it felt more like a rally or a town hall and less like a meeting of public of the Pima County.
So where are we with the guidelines? What's the deal?
I'm literally repeating verbatim what was passed in 1997. So I'm not changing any thing other than asking people to maintain decorum, be considerate of each other, and don't use slanderous or impertinent remarks. I mean, I think that's literally a quote. So.
And you get what, 3 minutes?
People
get 3 minutes, mm-hmm. and there is no the remarks are made at the end of the meeting.
No, it's at the beginning. We're right at the beginning of the meeting.
Okay.
And we don't have a limit on the number of speakers.
The number of speakers. Mm-hmm. So it could go on for as long as there are people that would like to speak.
Yes, that's the way it's
set up. Slip on your headset here because Gil has called us and Gil has a question. Do you have your audio set up there? Can you hear? Go ahead, Gil.
Yes, I would like to ask why the board has given the blessing to the new casino on Grant Road and I-10, which basically reflects a tax on the poor. And all the time you guys did not allow the nursing college from Grand Canyon University be built. I'd like to have that answered.
Okay, thank you, Gil, for calling. About the casino, what do you know about that, Adelita?
So that is sovereign land, and so it is property of the Pascua Yaqui tribe. And so that was a agreement that was made with the state and the federal government. And so Pima County, that has not come before the Pima County Board of Supervisors.
Will you have a chance? Does the board even have to weigh in on this? If that is sovereign land, that then becomes a federal issue, isn't it?
Yes, it does. So no, we don't have a voice in that decision.
Okay, let's move on. My stack of stuff I've got for you. Dr. Teresa Cullen remains Pima County's public health director. And there are a lot of people in this community that are huge fans of Dr. Cullen. And I have to say, for one, she has always been very transparent. She's always been willing to come on this program and pretty much answer any question. So I, for one, I'm happy she's still sticking around.
Me too. Yeah. I remember when she was asked by the governor to lead the health department in Arizona, I think a quote of mine was, I'm happy for Arizona and sad for Pima County. I think mm-hmm. it's a huge loss. And so I'm glad that she's staying with us. She never did resign. So it isn't a conversation about whether we're going to reappoint her. This is her position. And I'm glad she's going to be staying with us. The health department just created a strategic plan that I think is going to be incredibly beneficial to our community because once we stop talking about COVID, and that's been the preoccupation of the health department really since she started, what the pandemic taught us is that there are pockets in our community that are really underserved when it comes to health equity, that they really don't have access to health services. And so this is going to be huge for our community. I'm glad she's going to stay with us. And, you know, as a board member at the time, the health department was such a huge partner in keeping our schools open. So that also is a huge piece of why I'm so appreciative of the work that the health department has done under her leadership.
She is hugely supportive of health access to all people in Pima County. And, you know, moving on now from COVID, I think that's going to be important to have her here.
Absolutely. I think the blueprint that she's creating for Pima County would have been an amazing opportunity for the state of Arizona entirely, but I'm happy to have her here with us, and I think her advocacy is going to be incredibly important.
Why don't we pause right here and talk about my favorite bakery in town, Adelita, and that's Mona's Danish Bakery. Could you go for a cup of coffee and perhaps a Danish or maybe a chocolate croissant?
I skipped breakfast, so yes to all of those.
Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Steve and the team up there, they're open right now for lunch. And, of course, you can do breakfast anytime. They open the doors Tuesday through Saturday, 6:30 in the morning. People are waiting when the doors open. And Sunday, it can get really busy in the morning. So my suggestion, 7 a.m. when they open, get there early. And they have a wide selection of wonderful pastries to tempt you even more. Even before you get in there and take a look at the bakery case, check out their website, monasdanishbakery.com. We'll have more with Adelita Grijalva in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios, right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you interested in sailing on an all-inclusive luxury cruise, trekking on an expedition adventure, or relaxing on a tropical beach? Then join us on February 26th at the Hilton El Conquistador as Bon Voyage Travel hosts our free travel showcase. Over 35 representatives from the world's best travel brands will be on hand to help you discover all the world has to offer. The Bon Voyage Travel Showcase, February 26th. Be sure to visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio. Okay, now that the cold snap is over, we're all keeping our fingers crossed that maybe that's the last freeze of the season so we can really put some beautiful things in our garden, some spring color, get the garden all ready, and of course, Green Things, the place to do it, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. Also, they have Zocalo Village, and Jan and Jack, the owners, have some beautiful Talavera pottery, and they also tell me there's a beautiful shipment of wonderful items that they've just brought up from Mexico. They specialize in beautiful handcrafted items from Mexico and Latin America. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Open daily. Green Things is in their 53rd year of business. Also, a shout out to our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. If you're thinking, you know, I'd like to take some kind of a spring vacation, little getaway with the family. It's only about a three-hour drive to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. The Gila National Wilderness is over there. It's a great place to do hiking, all sorts of activities. You can find out all about it at southwestnewmexico.org. Adelita Grijalva is with us, the chairwoman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. As I think about kind of the three big issues facing the area here, we've got water, right? We got the homeless issue, and we have crime. Next, at your meeting Tuesday, you're going to address affordable housing or homelessness?
We're addressing homelessness and public safety.
That's so what
like
do
the
we do?
Title. So the issue is, I think, we have to really let the community know what we're doing now. And there is a perception from some people in the community that we're not doing enough. And I'm sure
and
that that's
the same with
the
city.
Absolutely. And so what we've been able to do is the mayor and I are meeting on a regular basis to discuss what we're doing, what we need to do, really working through some of the issues that we have internally. Because I do think we had a meeting just yesterday, and I believe Chief Kazmar was there and said, I don't recall in a time in my tenure as in law enforcement that the city and the county have been working so closely. So we really understand that there are significant issues. There are things that we've tried that haven't worked. And just keeping our community abreast of all of those things and what we are doing, I think will be important. And then what we're going to be continuing to work on and what we need to expand.
Yeah, because Chief Kazmar and the city has put out the word that they are not only hiring law enforcement sworn in law enforcement officers, but they're hiring these community service officers who can fill in the gaps for some of the issues where, you know, the other officers are tied up.
Right. And those are the officers that we hear at the Neighborhood Association meetings. They come in and say, you know, you can call us. Here's our card. Contact us directly. For some of those things, including traffic issues, we are hearing a lot about drag racing. And because District 5 has over 50 neighborhood associations, we attend all of those meetings as well. Our staff is really dedicated to making sure we hear from every community member. And
did
so
you say 50?
Yeah, we have a lot.
In District 5?
Yeah, we have a lot
of
neighborhood associations.
That could be like one block. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got a neighborhood association.
Well, and we're really, you know, all the way out to the Hono Otom Nation, Pascua-Yaqui tribal land to 22nd and Wilmot. So we're really large district and really diverse in need. So we have a lot of very active neighborhoods.
All right, let's go
district.
Back to our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Matt has called us, and Matt's got a question about the jail, and that is a big issue. Go ahead, Matt.
Supervisor Grijalva.
Hi, Matt.
thank you. I think the jail is probably, you know, since, you know, my time in history, when I was working in Los Angeles, I would equate it almost to the point of being as consequential as when President Clinton actually flew into L.A. County to address the possible closing of Martin Luther King L.A. County Health Department's hospital because of the gravity of the situation to the entire L.A. County region. I believe our jail situation is almost in the same category because it's going to be, it's a massive impact on regional with regards to everything. And so I just hoping you could comment on Jan Lesher's, the county manager's plan and your thoughts about how we're going to finance it. And thank you.
Yeah. Bye. So what we're doing is commissioning a blue ribbon committee to go in and actually make an assessment.
10 members, I believe.
Yes.
Something like that.
Right.
Okay.
Make an assessment of where we are. Mm-hmm. And so the nice thing about having served in TUSD for 20 years is I've walked through a lot of old buildings, a lot of new buildings, And the jail is split up. So you have one part that is about 16 years old and another part that's 40 years old. And what we really need to do is understand what the issues are. Is there structural damage that it would just cost more to correct. But I think it's important for us to get an assessment structurally of where we are. And then, you know, even if we were to say, yes, we're going to build a new jail, that is years away. So how are we going to mitigate what's going on now? Additionally, when we did a walkthrough and Sheriff Nanos was really gracious to take our entire team through, there were several pods that were there of people that were going through detox. And so that is a really big issue of people that really should be in a substance abuse facility versus incarcerated. And so how are we going to balance those two needs out? And those are things that we're discussing right now.
Yeah, you've got to have some bridge to get you. Even if they decided on a new facility, it's years away, and you're going to have some bridge to either fix up the current facility, make it at least habitable, or you're going to have to do something.
Right, absolutely. And I think that it's great that we have experts that are going to be able to go through that facility and just objectively look at where we are and what are some things that can be mitigated and corrected now and other things that, you know, I think it's just important for us to know all of the facts before we start making decisions as to whether we need
this group will hit the ground running, and hopefully there'll be some kind of report in a few months. I don't know how long it's going to take.
It's a very short window. Uh-huh. So that was something that I think our county administrator heard very clearly and also something that she's interested in as well.
So getting back, we were talking about, we didn't talk about affordable housing or homelessness. These are huge issues, ongoing issues.
Mm-hmm. They are. Economic development, ensuring that people have jobs that will allow to have a good quality of life. Those are all huge factors. And what's happening in some cases, in my opinion, is that we're putting a lot of issues together under one umbrella. So people are talking about homeless, they're talking about crime, they're talking about fentanyl and opioid use, and then they're talking about our housing shortage. And those are very distinct issues that require a lot of effort in each one. And so how we are going to be dealing with that, our county administrator is looking towards creating a strategic plan for our county that everything else will fit into, because I think that's going to be critically important. Something that we went into when I came into this office, one of the first things I did is brought together 40 people in our community to help with a strategic plan. And Pima County doesn't have one that is documented and something that everyone can look at and direct their work around. So I think that's going to be really critical.
One thing that will be coming up is the budget. That is fast approaching, and Jan Lesher has been reaching out, I think, to all the department heads and saying, what do you need, and can we afford it?
Yep, absolutely. And I think that's going to also be a really good discussion with some of the departments. The process, the hearing process, is a little frustrating because historically it's 5 minutes to talk about what you need and then a couple Q&As and you keep moving. Mm-hmm. And so it really is the responsibility of every supervisorial office to meet with those departments and have those meaningful conversations.
So we'll usually that was done kind of at the last minute. And this is, I think Jan has told us here on this show, she wanted to really start the process 6 months even early.
Yes.
Earlier than when it was.
Yes, and I think that's great. I really do, because it gives everyone an opportunity. It's not just what did you receive last year and we're just going to go ahead and mirror that. We need to really understand there's some departments that perhaps could use use more funding as long as they can articulate what it's for, and others that maybe, you know, have some personnel that positions that aren't filled that we could maybe redistribute some of those resources.
There was an item that came up about, I think you were supporting changing how items are placed on the agenda briefly. Could you explain that?
It wasn't really a change on how they're placed. What I found interesting when I became chair and started meeting with the clerk's office, the county administrator, and legal, there is no mechanism right now for items that are put on by the Board of Supervisors or the county administrator to go back to those departments to say, can you add some additional information? I'm concerned that we have had historically several items that don't meet open meeting law, the transparency of open meeting law. So I've sort of been talking about it. It's the equivalent of you being on a committee, any committee, to approve the treasurer's report, and the treasurer's report is not attached. That's essentially what we're doing. And so the item did not pass because there was some concern about not being able to access, you know, the agenda as freely. And that process wasn't even a question. It was really trying to make sure that we could go back to those individual departments and ask for more clarification so the item meets the requirements of open meeting law. That didn't pass. I don't know how we're exempt as supervisors from meeting open meeting law requirements. But what I heard very clearly is this is the way we've always done it and it's never been a problem. But I don't know that qualifies as a legal argument if we get a complaint from the Attorney General's office.
We'll see what happens with that one. Adelita Grijalva, thanks for coming in, and we'll look forward to what's coming up here for you.
I'm glad. Thank you for having me. It was good to see you.
Always a pleasure. Yeah. Nice to see you. We'll take a break right here. Our CEO interview series, supported by Sun Corridor, Inc., will be coming up after the break. We're going to meet Brian Hightoff, and Brian heads up Trico Electric. That's right after the break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
It's time for the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor, Inc., a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America.
Sun Corridor, Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of more than $3.2 billion, with 195 company locates and expansions, supporting nearly 55,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com.
And joining us now in studio, Brian Hightoff. Brian is the CEO and general manager of Trico Electric Cooperative. Mr. Hightoff has worked for electric cooperatives for more than three decades, including 23 years as a CEO. Prior to joining Trico, he served for 10 years as the CEO and general manager of High West Energy Incorporated. High West serves members in southeast Wyoming, western Nebraska, northern Colorado, including the Warren Air Force Base in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and he's headed Trico now since April of 2021. Hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm great. Great to be here.
What do you think of this cooler weather we're having here? It probably isn't a big deal to you after your time in Wyoming.
You know, I've been here a couple of years now, and actually I'm acclimated to Tucson. I like the Tucson weather, so even I am a little chilly this winter.
Tell us a little bit about Trico. People may not understand what a cooperative is all about. Why don't we begin with how does Trico get electricity to the people here in town?
Let me start with, you know, Trico. We are a distribution utility, electric utility in a traditional sense. And what that means is we buy power from other wholesale providers or from the wholesale markets, and then we distribute that power to our membership. Some of our core value or the core proposition of what we've done over the years is, you know, it's based on affordability and reliability and safety. But there's a couple of nuances, I think, that I'd like to point out when it comes to Trico. And one of them is just what we're building for the future. You know, I just talked about reliability and safety and affordability, but we're building on that really to build a system in the future that also incorporates decarbonization, electrification, resiliency, and community impact. And that's going to allow us, we think there are opportunities to provide our members with additional energy solutions in the areas of the emerging categories of community solar, community microgrids, flexible energy as a service, and optional rates. The other nuance that's probably even more important than that, though, is the fact that you mentioned we're an electric cooperative. And so what does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
That means that we are owned by our customers. So, in America, a lot of businesses are owned by, a sole proprietor or a partnership or investors. In the cooperative business model, we're owned by our customers, and we call our customers our members. So, and that allows our members to have a voice in the say of where the business is heading. Our members elect the board of directors. All of our board are members themselves, and they live in the local communities. And maybe most importantly is at the end of the year when we, tally up our books and we calculate what the revenues were for the year and what our costs were for the year, any excess revenues over our costs, we allocate back to our members and eventually pay that to our members based on a pro rata share of the business they did with Trico that particular year.
So the members basically own the business?
They do own us, yeah. Mm. And they control us. It's managed by the board of directors, and so owned and operated.
Why don't we also talk about your footprint? How many customers do you serve, and what are your areas in Southern Arizona that you serve?
We serve over 50,000 homes and businesses, and we basically surround Tucson. So, the rural areas and the suburbs of the city of Tucson. So, if you think of Mount Lemmon, Saddlebrook Ranch, the Catalina area all the way around, wrapping around Marana, Three Points, the Avra Valley, down around south to Green Valley and Sarita and Corona de Tucson, actually all the way down to the border. We serve the Aravaca area and down to Sasebo.
Mm-hmm. So how did the whole cooperative come about? I mean, there's the power company, the big power company, of course, Tucson Electric Power. How did your footprint kind of merge? I mean, you don't merge with them, but you serve areas that they don't.
That is correct. Yeah, the service territories for electric utilities has been established for, 50 plus years. But I love to tell the story about how we started. And mm-hmm. it's not just Trico. It's all electric cooperatives. Electric cooperatives serve in almost every county in the country.
Do they really? I had no idea.
Yeah, and there's 900 of us across the country. And if you think of Trico in the electric utility world, we're a small operator, but in the electric co-op, we are actually one of the larger electric co-ops in the country. But we all had our start similarly, and that is in the 1930s and 40s, there was electricity in the cities, in the towns, mm-hmm. but there was really nothing in the country. And FDR at the time in the mid-30s created a program called the Rural Electrification Act or Administration. Mm-hmm. It was kind of one of those tag-along New Deal programs like the TVA. Mm-hmm. And so it made low-cost dollars available to organizations who wanted to extend electric lines out into the countryside. And farmers and ranchers in Marana and Avra Valley, which is where our co-op started, they decided to band together, started the conversations, put together loan package, applied to Washington, D.C., got the money, and then built, their first project was in Marana and built a couple hundred miles of lines electrifying the homes up there.
So that explains why you have such a large rural footprint in Pima County.
It does. Yeah, our roots are very much rural and community-based.
Does TRICO stand, is it an acronym for something?
Yeah, actually it is for the three counties we serve, Pima, Pinal, and Santa Cruz.
For the tri, there
the
you
tri
go.
Counties. Tri-co. Yeah, TRICO is our official name, though.
So you talked about returning capital credits, and you've done that for several years.
We have. Yeah, we pay capital credits, and so that term is maybe, mm-hmm. what does that really mean? It's really dividends. Mm-hmm. It's a return of equity. So it's that those excess revenues over costs in a particular year, we will pay those back, and we've done that, I think. Yeah, 13, 14 mm-hmm. straight years now. There was a couple of years, I think, during the Great Recession, 07, 08, mm-hmm. or 09, somewhere in there that we did not. But every other year, that's one of our, long-standing principles is if we're in a position to do so, we want to. It's kind of the heart of the electric cooperative model.
Is that divvied up then with the members? They get a piece of that?
They get all of it. So, for example, in December, I believe our dividend was $4.5 million. All $4.5 million went to current members or former members of the cooperative.
So, who set the Arizona Corporation Commission sets your rate structure? Basically, or you set, and then of course they approve it.
Yeah, we establish the rates internally. They're approved by the board of directors.
Okay.
And then they're submitted to the Arizona Corporations Commission for approval.
So let's talk a little bit before we take the break about the changes in the electric utility industry. How are those changes affecting you, and how are you preparing for them?
Yeah, we're being impacted by a lot of changes, which is everyone, right? I mean, that's mm-hmm. not just us. And some of those changes, I think, really, from a macro standpoint, are affecting even other industries. I think of what's impacting us is decarbonization. We're replacing fossil fuel generation with renewable generation. And even at the end use, we can look at electric vehicles and replacing gas furnaces or stoves with electric. That's kind of a decarbonization initiative or societal move, if you will. You know, there's decentralization occurring in our industry. And again, that's, you know, affecting media, it's affecting banking, it's affecting, you can even look at, you know, breweries or distilleries, you know, it's kind of that local movement. And the same thing's happening where we're sourcing our generation closer to where it's being used instead of more centralized plants. And then, you know, digitization's impacting us. That's the movement from analog to digital. We're incorporating a lot more advanced technologies into our system, replacing electromechanical devices, you know, on our electrical grid with digital devices or electronic devices. And we're taking advantage of those, you know, the benefits to doing that.
We're speaking with Brian Hightoff. He is the CEO of Trico Electric. This is our CEO interview series. Before we take the break, how many people do you employ here in Pima County?
140.
Okay, so you are an economic driver.
We are, yeah. We like to think of ourselves as of being very supportive of economic development in the region.
We'll be right back with Brian Hightoff of Trico Electric.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are doing our monthly CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor. Brian Hightoff is with us. Brian is the CEO and the general manager of Trico Electric, based up in Marana. Trico serving three counties here in southern Arizona. Brian, where do you get your power from?
We have a couple of contracts, and so the primary source is from a company called Arizona Electric Power Cooperative, and they're headquartered in Benson, Arizona. They are a cooperative just like we are a cooperative. So just like our members own Trico, Trico owns a part of APCO. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a contract with Tucson Electric Power, and we buy some power from the dam system here in northern Arizona, also some from the market, and we generate some ourselves.
Most power companies are facing pretty much the same issues across the country with renewable energy, aren't they, Brian?
Yeah, that would be an accurate statement, mm-hmm. Yes. And so, you know, really it there's a transition occurring in our industry where we're, you know, moving from more traditional centralized power to that of renewables and decentralized. And that's been probably, you know, at least 10, if not 20 years in the making. We're kind of mid-transition now, and we probably have another 10 or 20 left, just because we need technology to kind of catch up with ourselves. And, you know, it's a cost analysis issue also, with, you know, understanding the pros and cons of the different generation technologies out there.
And you wanted our listeners to know that pretty much all of your customers up on Mount Lemmon will have their power back. There was some issue, I guess, with the snow.
Oh, yeah, we had some outages up there yesterday.
Snow and all the ice up there in our snow and rain and ice event.
That's right. Who would have thought?
So what about giving back to the community? Do you try to help out as where you can here in the community?
Oh, absolutely. We're a community-based organization, so it's kind of one of our principles, commitment to community. I mean, we do this in a number of ways. Of course, our employees, our volunteers in our communities, you know, with Little League or their churches, you know, we provide funding to a lot of community-based events. We also have a scholarship program where we give out approximately $500,000 every year to local students who are dependents of our members, or it could be the members themselves. And interestingly about that, that's something we're pretty proud of, because when you look at all the electric co-ops in the country, I believe we give out the most out of anyone when it comes to scholarships. Mm. So we're very supportive of the youth within our membership. And that money actually comes from the capital credits. I was mentioning earlier how we pay back these dividends. Yeah. Sometimes the checks come back to us, mm-hmm. Interestingly enough. And while we make an effort to try to find the owner, you know, who those mm-hmm. checks should be written to, there are times when we can't. And so those funds go into this foundation that we formed, and that foundation is the one that actually makes the contributions to these students for tuition. But, you know, we give grants to the local communities each fall and spring, so we have a program there. We've just issued an ESG report that will go live on our, our website.
And environmental social governance report?
It is, yeah. it's the for-profit companies, the SEC-regulated companies are all now, I guess, expected to issue ESG reports. We've taken it upon ourselves to issue our own. We have a great story to tell, right? Because we're a cooperative, we're member-owned, we're community-based. And when it comes to our environmental record, we feel we have a pretty good story to tell.
How about solar power installs? Do the homeowners get some kind of reimbursement, or how does that work?
We do, yeah. I mean, just like we're buying power from, the market or from sure. our other sources, we'll buy back the power from our members. And that's kind of the way the whole industry's moving. I mean, if you think about the traditional utility, it's been one way. And so we have historically provided power, But the world we're now moving into is we need to partner with our members even more so than what we have in the past, where we will be the purchaser of power and capacity from our membership, just like we're buying from the market.
So the target for reducing emissions is rather ambitious. By 2032, 50%.
We are. Yeah, we've just recently set that goal.
And is that doable, you think?
We do think it's doable. Uh-huh. Yeah, we do. With the technologies that are being incorporated into our grid currently and some of the plans we have over the course of this next decade, we think that's very achievable.
You're involved with the Sun Corridor, Inc. You're on the board of directors. How important is an economic development organization like that to our area?
Oh, I think it's vital. Yeah, and I've been involved in other economic development organizations in some of the communities I've lived prior to moving here to Marana. And I just think it's critical because if you think of it from the standpoint of what is the driver of economic growth in a region, you know, it's private business, it's small business. And there needs to be a coordinated effort by, you know, the citizenry through an organization like Sun Corridor to be able to attract and retain businesses in the region.
And you're very much, Marana's been growing, a lot of businesses. We hear from Mayor Ed up there, Ed Honey.
Sure.
The mayor is on our program fairly recently saying the businesses are still coming to Marana. And so the power they use would be Trico Power, correct?
TEP does serve also in the Marana, so
okay.
It's kind of split,
okay.
But you know, a lot of the growth is starting to occur in our service territory, and so that, you know, requires us to plan ahead and forecast what the usage will be in future years and plan accordingly, because it takes a couple of years to build new generation resources to make sure that's ready when it's needed.
Because people, I guess you could say that people want some basic things when it comes to their power, right? Brian Hightoff, they want cost effective, they want something sustainable, and they want reliability.
I would say that's pretty accurate. And in all those areas, we stack up really well. I mean, we're in the upper quartile in the country in terms of reliability. Or low outage time. You know, we are very cost competitive with the neighboring utilities. We have a great safety record. But, you know, in addition to that, I think members are also demanding innovation and great value. And so, you know, some of our initiatives internally are to introduce more, you know, pricing options for our members, give some choice. You know, that's where, you know, being able to buy from local and community solar based projects as opposed to some of our other sources of power. You know, we're working hard to provide those options to our members.
Thank you very much, Brian Hightoff, the CEO and General Manager of Trico Electric. Thank you, Brian. Nice to meet you.
Thank you, Bill.
For more information about Sun Corridor, Inc., visit their website, suncorridorinc.com. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Brian Hightoff, our guest on our CEO interview series, Tom engineering and producing the show, on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster saying thank you very much for joining us. Stick around, Dave Ramsey. His very popular show on money is coming up right after the CBS Radio Network News. Have a great day.